Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Tainis, Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, Chapter 2, Law 8, in the Maznaim text. That puts us on page 40 and 41. Okay, we're continuing to discuss various distressful situations in which the Jews fast, blow trumpets, and cry out to Hashem. The next category, we're still talking about the category of wild animals coming and going on the rampage, which shows us a godly thing that he's sending there. So other examples. Batim habnuyim bamidboros ubarotzos hanishamos. People who have built homes in deserts or in abandoned areas. And there they get attacked. So, hoel vehem mekom gedudechaya, since this is areas where the wild animals usually roam. So you're putting yourself in a dangerous situation to begin with. So therefore, generally speaking, if an animal will devour you, that's not a godly thing. However, what would make it unique? Im also legag, what if the animal climbs to the roof of the house? Finit latinok marisa, and then takes a baby from its carriage, from its, the baby bed, the cradle, then arezu mushlachas. And that's an example of being on the rampage, because they usually don't climb up roofs and attack babies in cradles. We had a few years ago, Nebuch, in the mountains in New York, there was a bear came, attacked a Jewish family and attacked a little baby who was in the stroller, and killed the baby, Nebuch.
Killed the baby?
Yeah, it's a few years ago, so. That's an example. Okay, you're up in the mountains. Okay, bears come. But a bear to kill a little baby, that's quite unusual. So that's what the Rambam is talking about. But vimlohi gielamidazu, but if we didn't reach this level where they're not doing such an unusual act, but doing the regular types of destruction in their area, enumushulachas, that's not considered on the rampage. She'elu b'nei adam, because the real truth is it's the people themselves. They put themselves in danger, because they went into a place of wild animals. So therefore, generally speaking, we don't assume it's a rampage unless it's unusual circumstances. Now we discuss other types of beings, if this is considered the rampage. Sh'ar mine remes ha'aretz, different types of creeping animals on the ground, v'remes ha'of, and different types of flying creepy beings, shishluchu vehisiku, that have gone out and have damaged people, but didn't kill. Because if they'd kill, then certainly you'd fast on them. Well, let's say they're damaging people. Kigon, for example, shiluach nechashim v'akrabim, let's say snakes and scorpions start attacking. Vein tzorach lomer tzroim, and it goes without saying, types of bees. Very dangerous. I don't know what they call it. Types of hornets or very, very strong types of stinging insects. Okay, the yitushim, adomim, similar to that. Amy sanalevel masriim. You don't fast and blow trumpets. Avolzal can blow trua, but you blow without the trua sound. But this is only when they're damaging. If they really would be killing people, then certainly that would be the above category as well. Okay, yud. Moving on to the grasshoppers. Ala arba vala chasil. What are these two things? And how much do you need to enter the land of Israel to proclaim a fast? So we say, afilo nira mehen elokonef echad b'choler shol. Even though if only one wing of the locust make it into the land of Israel. Misanim masrim aleim. You fast and you blow trumpets over them. Because they spread out very fast. And for that, you know, the whole Eretz Yisrael is considered like one area, because when the locusts attack, it's a very quick thing. So even if one wing has entered Eretz Yisrael, it's already a dangerous situation. Vala Govai, it's another type of locust, which is also very dangerous for the grains. Becholshu, any amount that goes in, it's a problem. But it's a different type of grasshopper that isn't as dangerous. We don't fast and blow trumpets. We just cry out to Hashem, and that is all. Okay, now we don't know the differences between one type of locust and another.
I can't picture, but I can't see the difference here.
Believe me, I can't. Well, one has an.
One has,
you know,
two legs, like a forked leg.
I don't know.
Those look a little bit different.
You know, it's hard for me to see a difference either. Right. Nowadays, we don't really know the differences between different types of grasshoppers. So therefore, we'd blow trumpets on all of them because we can't take any chances if that would happen. Okay, Yudalf on the blights now. Alishidofen vala yerakon on the regular blight and the yellow blight. What does that mean? Mishiaschil between when it begins with the grain. Vafila hiskel elden makom cotton. Even if it only begins, you see the disease on a little bit of the grain, kimelo pi tanur. What does that mean? There's enough that you could bake from it a small little bread by the mouth of a oven. And it's a very small amount of grain that you could make a little challah. And even that, gozlov tanis umasrim. We would make it a fast day and we'd blow the trumpets. And that's all you need. You don't have to see an overabundance. If it's the beginning stages of it, then you're ready to make a fast day. Yud Beis, Alamapolis. How about houses that have crumbled and fallen? Ketzed, let's have an example. Zeresha Rav Sobair Mapolis Ksolim. There's been abundance of walled homes that have fallen. And Rambam doesn't say how much. Ritva says, be three houses. If three houses, well, we have to continue reading on. Mapolos Ksolim Brim, Shaino Omdim Bitsadanar. You're talking about strong walls that just collapse, and we're not talking about places that were built near a river where maybe the soft land might be a reason for it to collapse. Normal place is just collapsing. Sarezat Sarum Isanim Asrimala. That is considered a distressful situation, and we fast and blow shofars for this. Chatzotzot, rather. Vechen al Arash, and similarly for an earthquake. Okay, the alaruchos and on a hurricane, these that clearly are causing all kinds of damages. Shema pilum es abinyan v'horgim. They knock down buildings and kill people. Misan and masrim aleim. You fast and you blow trumpets for that as well. So I guess maybe this. Well, no, because houses didn't crumble. I'm saying houses have to crumble. Let's say, you know, that the San Francisco earthquake. That would be an example that you'd have to do that. God forbid it would happen, then it would be something to do it for.
Because the prayer against sort of aftershocks and things like that, because the events already happened.
Well, I guess maybe so. I guess there are aftershocks. That's true. That's a good point. Because really, if it's already happened, usually it's always done for the future. So you have to have something to base the future on. So I guess that would be a good example of that.
I'm wondering about the strong winds. I mean, would it be while the strong winds are blowing, or...
I don't know. It's hard to hard to know how you would do that. Maybe, well, nowadays if you have a forecast Category 5 hurricane coming,
you know.
But then again, you don't have to daven, just get out of there. but you should also daven the Shem.
Daven to get out
should,
there,
and shouldn't have destruction.
It's not so easy to get out.
Yeah. Okay, Yud Gimel. Al hachaloyim, what about sicknesses? Now you have to, again, you have to understand, like, how is this different than the dever, the pestilence that was mentioned on locha hay? It's not clear what the difference is. But case, let's have an example. You have one sickness, one type of sickness to many people in this city, that came into being. And let's just see, there is something in one of the footnotes over here. Yeah. So the Mufarshim ask, it's a bit of a contradiction to the Rambam, because we learned yesterday in Halacha Hey, the Rambam mentions this idea of three people dying in 3 days, right? And here he doesn't, and you'll see in a minute, he doesn't mention this, so he's saying that this is a more severe type of epidemic, so even if fewer people die, you're making a fast. In other words, this type of epidemic is a worse type of epidemic than the ones that were mentioned before. Other Mephorshim give another difference. It says that in Halacha Hey, the plague refers to where the death hits the city before there's an illness, while they can have epidemics. Over here, where we're talking where there's both illness and death in the same city, so therefore we're more strict. Anyway, it's different types of sicknesses. And he tells you what kind it is. Kegon, for example, Askara. Askara is a sickness of the throat I think some say it's diphtheria, or something like that, or charchur. Charchur is type of a very strong fever. I don't know, maybe it's malaria. I don't know the different kinds that it's there. I mean, I don't know how it's different than a plague. How is that different than a bubonic plague? I mean,
that's a specific organism.
What?
The plague, bubonic plague.
It is?
Specific.
Which organ is it? You don't know.
It's a Latin name.
Okay.
I mean, polio, it's a different polio.
I don't know. It's hard for me to see the difference. Kiyaitzim are similarly, v'hoyu meisim v'osachoyim, but we're dying with the sickness. Harezat tzoras tzibur, this is a congregational distress. V'grezim l'tanus masrim, you make a fast day and you blow trumpets. V'chein chichuch lach, and also a chichuch lach. What is this? Moist boils?
Okay, running sores.
Running sores. Okay. And he says, "Hareu kishchin parech." It's like a growing type of skin disease,
yeah.
Right? So now, similarly, you'd fast for that. In pasha barovat tzibur, if it extends to most of the congregation, misanim masrim alav, you fast and you blow trumpets. Avochichuch yovish, but a dry type of form of that sickness. Tzolakim alav bilvad, you just scream out and nothing more than that.
Why the distinction be that in the bubonic plague we had death only, and here we could have...
So that's what we mentioned before, that there seems to be differences. One is a more severe type than others.
Polio could have a lot of people who are paralyzed for the rest of their lives.
But they don't die.
And they don't die.
But
it may affect more people in the community, because it may spread further, and hence... I'm just trying to draw a distinction.
I don't know. I mean, aside what it said in footnote 43, I mean, tried to give those distinctions I spoke out. I don't know any others. It must be in a certain way more severe. The other one by Deborah doesn't really say what it is. It doesn't say what the plague is in Halacha Hay. Right? It just says, what is it? Dever. Well, certain people are dying from this Dever. So you have plagues of a lower degree of plagues and a higher degree of plagues. I'm not exactly sure what the differences are. Right, Yudal al Mizonas on sustenance. What's going on there? Ketzad. Reisha Huzlu Dvarim Shel Schaira. The price of merchandise has dropped. And it's a very important merchandise. Shirov Chai En She Osair Mehem. The most people make a parnasa from this merchandise by selling it, and now its price has dropped and no one's gonna make money. They're gonna lose. Kigon, for example, what kind of product? Klei Pishtan Bivavel. We're dealing with garments of flax in Bavel, because that was a common product, the yain v'shem v'Eretz Yisrael, and wine and oil in Eretz Yisrael, which is a major staple product. And now what happened is, nismaida masa v'amatan, and the buying and selling has gone down, the market has just dropped. Achisar chatagar limkar shavar asar b'shisha, where the businessman sells something that costs him 10, he sells it for 6, or something that's supposed to sell for 10, he sells for 6. Whatever it is, it's a real loss. Okay? In other words, it's not that it's just going down price. They're going to take big losses. And something they bought for 10, they're selling for 6. So like you're finished, right? So the achakach, then you'll find a buyer. In other words, only when you drop it from 10 to 6 will you find a buyer. This is a calamity for the congregation, and you blow trumpets for this. You even cry out on Shabbos for such a thing. It's interesting. It says, so here they explain, you pray, but you don't blow the trumpets. I guess it's a little bit less of a level. And they say it doesn't mention fasting over here either. Which is interesting. But others argue on the Rambam and say you should make a fast for this. But again, if the market is, so I mean, the main point is like if you see a major drop in the markets. So again, if we would be fasting, probably what happened a year and a half ago would definitely be a reason. If you saw your RSP drop by 90%, you know, that is a major financial issue that people should fast for. Now again, the reason fasting will help is because the market can fluctuate back up. Things get better. So you got to daven to Hashem. So you got to fast. And, you know, so again, this is an example of the type of calamities that we have to be very much aware of, that we have to do tshuva for.
Why would it say that we should background even on the Shabbat. I mean, we don't think about our harness on Shabbat. I mean,
I don't know. This just seems to be the only one that he says. Let's see. So that's what he went back. Go back to Halacha Beis. Anything where there's an immediate danger, you do on Shabbos.
Yeah, but this is Parnassah, which is different.
Well, but without Parnassah, you die. Right? That's what it said in Beis. Remember? Chutz mitzaras hamazonos shatzokim alav filu b'Shabbos. That's what it said over there. It's such a critical thing. So now you didn't ask that yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
We were fasting yesterday.
Why was it sharp yesterday?
They're categorizing it together with things where there's imminent danger, like if a city's besieged or a ship is sinking. I don't know why money is more eminent than a plague.
Not only that, but I mean, does it matter whether you recover your wealth on Sunday as opposed to Shabbos? Like, I mean, it's not...
I don't know. So it's a good question. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know what makes the Parnassah so much. I mean, but you do... You know, let's put it this way. You're right in theory, Ron, but in practice, people worry more about their money than anything else, right? Morris says there are people who worry about their money more than their lives. You know, go think of a person, you've lost all your money. What kind of Shabbos is going to happen? Yeah, you're right. You're not, in theory, you're right. A tzaddik wouldn't worry about it, but 99% of the people in the world are not those kinds of tzaddikim. And if you were told, right coming into Shabbos that you have no parnasa coming the next day, what kind of Shabbos are you going to have? So, and I guess people worry more about money than anything else.
And I suppose if you cry out and that makes your Shabbos a real Shabbos because now you felt like you've done everything you can.
Yeah, I mean that.
Then you can enjoy the rest of Shabbos.
You're right. But if it's so, just like a very deathly ill person, you say Tehillim for because it's wrecking up your whole Shabbos as it is. So you have to have some sense of peace of mind. So if that's what gives it to you, then we allow it. Okay, now let's get to the rain. Tesvav alamotor for rain. Kate said, "What's that all about?" Harei sharabu aleim gishamim. The rain is so much, too much rain. Atshiotzeirlem. Until it creates a distressful situation for the community. You pray for this. There's nothing worse than this. That what's going to happen? You're talking about mudslides and everything, right? Landslides. Where the houses will fall and their houses will be their graves. That you're talking like major rain. Where houses, you've seen those pictures where houses are just carried away in the flood of water, right? So that's a major calamity. However, listen to this. But in Eretz Yisrael, you don't daven for too much rain. Why? Because it's never really going to be a problem in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it's a land of mountains. It's hilly. And their houses are built up on the rocks. And a lot of rain, tolem, is good for them. You don't fast to take away goodness. You ever see floods in Israel?
Just in the desert.
I'm saying, do you ever see a flood, you know, wiping out a village of homes? And you see a home? Never. It's the geography, the topography, whatever, is such that it just doesn't happen. Right? You're right, you have a flash flood in the Machtesh, you know, in the desert, where nobody's living there anyway, no one builds houses over there. But wherever, for normal parts of Israel, you're not gonna have that issue, so that's not something too fast for. Okay. Now, Tezayin, continuing with the idea of rain, or lack of it. Let's say the crops have begun to sprout, and then v'nimna hamotor, and then the rain stops. So that's already bad, you know, because now it started to grow and it stopped. And v'hiskilu tzmochem liyabesh, and the growing plants are beginning to dry out. Harei elu mis'anim v'zokim. So for that you fast and you blow the trumpets. Atsheyer dugsham, until rain falls. Or until the plants totally die. Because then it wouldn't help if the rain would come. In other words, there's gotta be a resolution one way or the other. Either the plants have died, so there's nothing to talk about, it's just bad news. Or, until it rains, if the plants still could benefit from the rain. Or let's say Pesach has come along, or Karav Lo, or close to Pesach, Be'eretz Yisrael. It's the time where the trees blossom, Shom. V'liyardukshamin, it hasn't rained. Harei l'misanim isokim, you fast and you blow trumpets. Ad sheyardukshamin rim l'ilos, until enough rain comes that's beneficial for the trees. Oh, ad sheyarvesman, until the time has passed and it's not going to help anymore, the rain for the trees. And either if it's too late and it can't be helped, or as long as it, or until it does rain. Similarly in Yudzayin, v'chem yigia zman chag ha-sukkos. Let's say it's the time for sukkos. This is interesting, halacha. V'lo yardu kshamim harbe, there hasn't been enough rain. What do you need rain for? K'dei lomalos v'hem ha-boros, so that the pits, the cisterns, the wells, will be filled with water. Hashichan v'moros, the different types of places where water is gathered. And you need it for the people who are going to Yerushalayim, they need to drink. Harelu misanim, you fast, achier geshem roi l'boros, so there's enough rain to fill into these tanks. And if there's nothing to drink at all for people, right? So then, you pray for rain at any time. That it shouldn't be that there's no water for them. Even the summer. In other words, I guess, Sukkot time, they needed water specifically for the wells. But he's saying in general, if there's any time where people are not having any water and they're dying from thirst, you'd make a fast any time, even in the summer, even though it's not usual for it to rain in the summer. I mean, I guess a lot of problems were happening the winter before, obviously, and you'll see in the next parak, there's many fast days coming up that he's going to talk about if rain doesn't come at the proper times. This isn't the typical rain we're dealing with, but I guess it's resultant over a whole winter of no rain, and now you're in a position where either the wells or you don't have what to drink.
So can I just go back? Are we saying that one would pray for rain during Sukkot, which would then prevent you from doing the mitzvah?
I think before, when the time of Sukkot is coming up. I don't know if...
It says it wrong.
Did I skip a halacha?
You skipped the Tessayin.
If this festival of Sukkot
I skipped Tessayin.
No, we did that.
I did Tessayin.
Yeah.
But in Yudzayin.
Yeah, I did Tessayin.
Yeah,
Yudzayin, right.
So, the English says, similarly, if the festival of Sukkot is arrived.
Interesting.
Rain hadn't descended.
Oh, so you know what? It's interesting. If they look at the original sources in the Yerushalmi, some say it's talking about Shavuos instead of Sukkos.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
But on the other hand, it's not likely to expect rain at Shavuos time, which is really the summertime. So it's kind of unusual.
You get a really dry winter.
Right. And he's saying it is possible for it to rain around Sukkot time. So, okay, I hear. Maybe it's a little bit before Sukkot. Maybe Lav Dafka on Sukkot. Okay, you
think how terrible it is if it rains in Sukkot and it's wrong.
Yeah, that's also true, but if you don't have what to drink, that's even worse.
Right.
Yudches, Paska, Gshamim, what if the rain stopped? Bein Geshem, Geshem, Barim, Yom, Bimosa, Gshamim. Let's say it's during the rainy season. You got your first rain, but then it stopped, and now 40 days have passed from one rain to the next. It hasn't come another rain, right? Areza makas v'tzuras. That is a blight. That's a drought. A drought, which will cause all kinds of problems. It's going to hurt the plants and all these things because of lack of rain. So therefore, umisanim, you have to fast for that. Vezogin, you blow trumpets. Achier do akshamim. Oh, achiaver zman, until the rain blows, comes or until that time passes. Now let's just begin the third chapter. Moving right along over here. Now we're going, this whole third chapter focuses specifically on if there is no rain in the winter when it's supposed to come. The entire chapter discusses what if it, there is no rain at the right time. Halacha Aleph. Harei shelo yordu lahem gshamim kol ikar mitzilus nuzo gshamim. Let's say it didn't rain at all in the rainy season. After Sukkot, you're waiting, no rain has come. Im higia yud zayin b'mar cheshvan. You come to the 17th day of cheshvan, which is a little less than 4 weeks after Sukkot has ended. Okay? Gemara says there's different times for the rain. You know, the early season of the rain and the middle season and the late season. The early season is the third of Cheshvan, the middle is the seventh, and the late one, the later rain is the 17th. You haven't got even the later rain has come. Only Torah scholars begin fasting on Monday, Thursday, and Monday. They do a 3-day fast. Monday, Thursday, Monday. In other words, they look at the 17th of Tammuz. If it hasn't rained yet, so the scholars will fast the next, Cheshvan rather, they fast the next Monday, Thursday, Monday. V'chol ha-talmidim ru'uyim l'kach. And all students are fit to be called that. In other words, the guy said, I'm not a Talmud Chacham, I don't have to fast. He says, no, anybody who's close to me on Talmud Chacham should be considered in that category. And we already mentioned why we don't start fasts on Thursday. Remember, because if you start fasting on Thursday, people are going to, it's going to be a run on the markets before Shabbos. Remember we talked about that? So that's why we start Monday, Thursday, Monday. Okay, moving on, halacha base. What if Higia Rosh Chodesh Kislev? Now you come to Rosh Chodesh Kislev already. Two more weeks. In other words, look at the 17th, right? That means there's 14 days till Kislev. So between the Monday, Thursday, Monday, you've almost knocked off 2 weeks, right? So now the next, and no rain has come yet. It's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. V'liyorduk Shem hasn't rained. So now Beis Din goes in Sholosh Tainus Al Tzibur. Now the Beis Din decrees a fast for the congregation now. Again, it's another Sheni V'chamishi V'sheni, another Monday, Thursday, Monday. However, umutarim b'hem lech ovelish v'alai, but we do allow you to eat at night. In other words, these are fasts that start in the daytime.
But all fasts we talked about
it. Well, you're going to see in a minute, we're going to have some fasts that are 24-hour fasts coming up. That's why he's emphasizing this point. Now, the Anshe Mishmar are the people of the Mishmaros, of the watches, meaning the Kohanim. Every week, another group of Kohanim would serve. So you've got the Anshe Mishmar, that's the whole group. And then we have what we call the Beis Av, the family of that day. So these aren't the ones exactly we're on this day, but they're like on call. In other words, Kohanim, you have the base of the family for that day that will serve. And in case there's a lot of korbanos, then the other groups of that whole week are on call. They may be needed. So the Anshe Mishmar, those are the ones who are of the group, but they're not necessarily doing that day. So Ein Misanimon, they don't fast that day. If name Shem Asugabot, because they will, could be engaged in working in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't work in the Beis HaMikdash fasting. Everybody goes to shul, umisvam, they daven, vizorakim, and they blow trumpets, umischanim, and they supplicate, kederach shoshim b'chol tanis, like any other fast that we explained before in the end of the first chapter, that we divide the day up, you know, into half, and then a quarter, and a quarter, reading from the brachas and klalos, etc., etc. Let's do one more. Yeah, no, I think we should stop. Okay, we did enough. So we'll continue this on Monday, next Monday. And it goes very quickly now. So we hopefully will finish this by the end of the 3 weeks. Okay, shkayach.